This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, we have done it. We conquered the week. The week is over. It's time to wrap everything up, shall we? We had confirmation hearing week. Christy Noem was out there today. Did pretty well for herself, I should say. The resistance to illegal immigration is starting to ramp up in the commie areas of the country. We'll talk about that. Joe Biden's incoherent and a liar. I know that's breaking news, but mostly you know what Friday is. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be a roller coaster. Somebody wants to know why we have to have anyone confirmed. Someone wants to talk about the Norman invasion of England. Why do commies, such as they are, why do they find value in it? What is liberal Aunt Peggy? Why does she side with the commies? We'll talk about that. What do I typically eat for dinner? Some POW Medal of Honor story from Japan. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin first right here. Joe Biden. Joe Biden is still incoherently rambling his way out of the White House. And I don't know whether I'm going to say is about to make you feel good or kind of yucky and terrible or maybe a combination of both. You know what I mean? It's like when you order an entire roll of garlic knots to yourself when your wife leaves town, you order the garlic knots from Papa John's, you eat all the garlic knots and they were so good, but you feel gross but satisfied. You didn't understand? So that maybe what we're about to say is going to make you feel like that. But Joe Biden is in a terrible situation, and Joe Biden is not going to find a way out of the terrible, miserable situation he's in. Now, before I go into the details of why, don't make this mistake. A mistake, there's a million parables about this, but a mistake many people make about thinking wealthy or famous or powerful people are any degree, even one degree, happier and more content than you are. They are simply not. And you're going to have to take it from me. I have walked every single financial path, socioeconomic path you can walk in this lifetime. If you are happy, content, you know, Av and I were happy with the boys in a crappy little apartment when I was working construction in San Antonio. We still talk lovingly about it. He's got a decent house now. We're the same, not happier, not any less. And this applies to politicians as well. Joe Biden, I know it can be tempting to look and think, wow, he's the most powerful man on the planet. He's got all this private security and Air Force One, and he's going to have a presidential library, and everyone's going to tell him, yes, Mr. President, and everyone kisses your rear end all the time. Surely he's happier than me. I'm on my way to my second shift tonight trying to make ends meet. At least he's not worried about his next meal. He is no happier than you. In fact, because of his personal life and his value system, he's miserable. Joe Biden, Miranda Devine touched on this a little bit last night. She's really great about the Joe Biden backstory, what most people don't know. Most people know the scandals now. Most people don't know that he came from a political family, that he was chosen, pushed by his family into the political realm so he could corruptly elevate the family, which of course he has done. Joe Biden has been a lifelong corrupt piece of trash without a single bit of contentment in his life, always just looking for the next gig, the next dollar from China, the next whatever it may be. But you think Joe Biden ever sits around at home like you do with your husband, your wife, your mom, your son, and just has a genuine moment of wonderfulness? He doesn't. The night before last, I'll tell you, hopefully it hasn't come through on the radio, but been actually a very tough time of grieving right now for my mother, for me, for my sister. And I'd been told that about 3 months afterwards, the numbness wears off and the grieving starts again. It's really weird. So I haven't been doing that great because of the loss of my father. And so I guess I've been quiet around the house. I didn't even realize it. Sitting down with my 16-year-old, he looks over at me. He said, "Dad, tell me how you're doing." Joe Biden's never had a moment like that, not one, in the entirety of his life. He's miserable. His life has been miserable. And he thought at the very end, as they dragged him out of retirement, that he was going to achieve what everyone who gets into politics kind of dreams about. Whether you're running for school board, senator, whatever you happen to be running for, everyone has in the back of their mind, "I could be president one day. You never know. I get the next gig and the next gig, and I could, maybe one day it's me." And that day came for Joe Biden. The Democrats dragged him out of retirement, handed him the nominee, and handed him the White House. And that moment came for Joe Biden at the precise moment his mind was failing him so badly and body failing him so badly, he didn't get to enjoy a single solitary second of it. He spent the last 4 years after a lifetime of corruption and misery, having the drool dabbed off his chin, being coerced, being instructed on everything. Remember that article that came out that told us all the details? They have to tell him when the meetings start, who will speak, what the questions are going to be. "Joe, here's where you're going to sit. Here's where you're going to stand." He's not even a functional adult, led around by people a third his age, a bunch of vile little communists only using him to get their next political gig. Joe Biden didn't spend 5 seconds as president enjoying himself, unless he was sniffing a little girl's hair. Joe Biden has been miserable for 4 years at the end of a miserable career. And Joe Biden now knows, on top of all that misery, his long political career ends in embarrassment. Again, maybe this will all make you feel good. Maybe it'll make you feel bad, but I was brewing on it this morning. How you end matters so much. And that's a hard thing, especially for men. I can't speak for women on this, but especially for men. How you end a career, a lifetime, oftentimes can either shine up what you'd done before or can really, really ugly up what you had done before. We've all seen it. We all remember how Muhammad Ali ended, even if you weren't alive. Muhammad Ali, greatest of all time. Muhammad Ali ends his career as a soft, slow, broken old man getting his head caved in repeatedly. That's not how Muhammad Ali's supposed to end. That's not Michael Jordan's not supposed to end his career bouncing between teams, getting shown up by dudes half his age. That's not how it's supposed to end. Look, we've all seen the radio guy who hung on too long, got super frigging boring. Gosh, why won't he just retire? But he doesn't have anything else. That won't be me, by the way. And Joe Biden, he will now be thought of as Jimmy Carter. what was supposed to be the pinnacle in this corrupt political man's lifetime ended up being the worst thing that ever happened to him. He would have been thought of forever as Barack Obama's vice president, long-serving senator. And I realize he was embarrassing before that, but that's just because you're the hyper-informed. Most people didn't know that. Okay, he was a vice president. He said something dumb on occasion. Kind of a charming guy, given the senator from Delaware. And instead, Joe Biden's now a punchline. And he knows it. And his wife knows it. Remember what she said? Remember when it was leaked, when the system was knifing Joe Biden out the back of the White House and it finally got leaked out there that Jill Biden was desperate for him to run again because Jill Biden, still in control of all her faculties, didn't want that embarrassing debate to be the last part of Joe Biden's legacy. But that embarrassing debate was the last part of Joe Biden's legacy. And now, no matter what else he's done, our lasting memory of this corrupt, mean, old, selfish cuss is him rambling and bambling on the way out the White
House. I got involved. I didn't think about it this way, but I got involved in public life because of the abuse of power. I mean, my dad would say, you know, the greatest sin of all is the abuse of power. And I was raised in a circumstance where, I used to always talk about how the worst thing ever happened to me was I used to stutter when I was a kid. And you really get made fun of when you talk like that. And, but I realized maybe it was the greatest gift I ever got.
What a way to end a career. And I'll just say this because we're going to move on. We'll get do some Ask Dr. Jesse questions, talk about Kristi Noem from today and other things. I'll just say this about Joe Biden. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Now, all this talk about Joe Biden, I don't know about you, has me thinking I need to keep my mind pretty sharp. Care for it as best I can. How do you do that, though? I mean, it's easy to figure out how to take care of your muscles. You got to work out. Your heart, you got to go do some cardio. How do you take care of your mind? Well, first and foremost, for dudes, you have to make sure your testosterone levels are where they need to be. This is not just for 20-year-olds getting ready to get married and make babies. Fellas, you need testosterone to think logically. That comes from your T levels. You need it to keep your emotions where they need to be. You need it to not fall into depression. You know, low levels of testosterone are the reason you feel down all the time inexplicably. Why don't you let some natural herbal supplements from Chalk turn that around for you? You don't have to go jam a needle into your arm. Take a male vitality stack for 90 days. You won't even feel like the same person anymore. Every day, a male vitality stack or female vitality stacks for the ladies. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Start it. You're 90 days away from feeling different. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Dome is still out there in the news, definitely sounding like a woman who's going to embarrass herself during another political run. We'll get to that. We will get to the Kristi Noem hearing from today, which that is very important as well. Head of DHS is very important. Kristi Noem wasn't put there, wasn't chosen because she's the real sledgehammer that's going to clean all the illegals out. That's why Tom Homan was chosen. Kristi Noem was chosen because she's the pretty face, pardon the pun, the one who's pretty enough to get through the Senate confirmation process, meaning she's enough of an establishment politician. She's going to get confirmed. You have Tom Homan go in there to do the nitty-gritty dirty work. Kristi Noem shows up, speaks in front of the Senate. Ah, sounds good. That's how that went. So we'll get to Noem here in just a little bit. I want to get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions because some of these apply. Hey, Jesse, why do President Trump's picks have to be confirmed? We elected him, didn't we? Isn't that confirmation enough? Maybe the president should start holding confirmation hearings for every Democrat staff member in the House and Senate. Can you explain this to me? Okay, well, This is part of the Constitution. The Senate's job, as it's been interpreted, is to advise and consent for these critical cabinet positions. And I'll put it to you this way. Why do we need senators to confirm anybody? Because you get frustrated. You got frustrated. They already torpedoed the first one, Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz was going to go take over the DOJ and start arresting people in the government. He was. But they took Matt Gaetz out in 5 minutes. I'm not sure that he was ever actually serious about it. He dropped out pretty quick. But either way, set that aside. Why do you need senators to give anyone a thumbs up at all? We just elected Donald Trump. Shouldn't he just get whoever he wants? Well, remember the purpose of how the founders set up our government, and really many governments, most governments are kind of set up along these lines. You're trying to, when you're setting up a country, you're trying to set up boundaries, fences, if you will, that ensure no matter what happens, if something horrible happens you can't foresee at some point in the future, no matter what happens, we won't go completely crazy. You know what? Set aside the fence analogy. I don't like that at all. Think about the bumper. You ever seen the bumper things when you go bowling? You ever been in a bowling alley that has those? Almost everyone's been in a bowling alley that has those. You know, you have the gutters. You have the two gutters on the side of a bowling lane. But you can. It used to be physical things you had to put out there, but now it's just electronic. They pop up. You have things pop up, and it's impossible to hit a gutter ball. So you can roll the ball down there, and you're going to take out at least some pins. It's never going to happen, what I'm sure happens to Chris every time, and that's the ball goes right into the gutter, and you don't hit any pins. Someone like me, I don't have to worry about that. Chris, obviously, is probably not a very good bowler. When you're setting up a country, if you were to set up your own, you buy your own island like I'm going to do with the Republic of Jesse and start my own country, what you're trying to do is not just plan for what you have now. You have to do the best you can to see into any potential future problems. And oftentimes, those gutter ball blockers, they can become frustrating when you have people in charge who are taking you the direction you want to go. When people who you consider to be wrong or your enemy, when they take over, you love the gutter ball blockers. But when it's the other way, you don't like it. You, me, I just want Donald Trump to have everybody he says he wants, period. And it looks like he's going to, with the exception of Matt Gaetz. Don't forget, they took out Matt Gaetz. Don't act like he got everybody he wanted. They took out the most important position, the DOJ head, the attorney general. But anyway, other than that, I want him to get everyone he wants. You want him to get everyone he wants. But let's just for a thought experiment here, let's fast forward, you know what, just 4 years. 4 years from now, let's say it's Kamala Harris running, and she's running against J.D. Vance. Probably not outside of the realm of possibility. But Kamala Harris, you know her history. Father's a communist. She's essentially a communist. You understand what it would mean if she took over the government. You get that. Now, what if J.D. Vance gets caught up in some scandal, cheated on his taxes, and something horrible happens, and Kamala Harris beats him, and she's president 4 years from now? What if she wants to staff her government with jihadi terrorists? It's an example, jihadi terrorists. You want some layer in between that happening for the sake of your country. And I know that sounds crazy, but crazy things happen in the future. If you went back 100 years ago and told them what would be happening now, we have a tranny in the United States House, they would tell you you're crazy. Crazy things happen. You plan for the crazy. That's why you have the confirmation process. All right? All right. Enough politics for a minute. Let's talk a little bit about the Norman invasion, shall we? Let's also talk about getting you physically back where you need to be, meaning without pain. It is not easy getting old. As my old man used to say, getting old ain't for sissies. I know that's an old line, but it's true. Things start to hurt. Your muscles start to hurt. That shoulder. I woke up in the middle of the night. My shoulder hurts. My back hurts. Oh, my hip. It's really bothering me. My foot. So we do two things. We always do one of two things. They're both horrible. We either ignore it, I'll tough it out. Then you're in a bad mood. Then the rest of your body starts to go to crap. Or we take things to mask it, which is awful for us. Awful for us. Why don't we just take Relief Factor every day? It's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Give your body what it needs to remove that pain. Not mask it. Remove it from your life. Are you ready to be pain-free? 3-week quick start kits, $19.95. That's it. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can still email the show, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. We're live, of course. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Hey, Jesse, the screaming nostril Kelly. When you build your underground tunnel system, you could use that nose whistle as echolocation so you won't need lights. Or maybe you could use it like an Aztec death whistle to strike terror in your enemies. Or you could just use it to whistle in your designer dog, Fred. Silver linings, my friend, silver linings.
I hate you guys. History professor Jesse was watching a show on the History Channel a number of years ago. It was a top 10 countdown of the most significant events in world history. As the countdown progressed, I was fully expecting the Normandy invasion to take the number one spot. To my surprise, the Normandy invasion was the number two spot, and the Norman conquest was number one. In your esteemed opinion, is this correct, or is the History Channel full of crap? Okay, first, let's discuss briefly what the Norman conquest was. I realize History Buffs will, of course, know, but the Roman Empire, let's just begin here. The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the greatest empire of all time. My opinion is nothing else comes close when you look at their advancements, the technology. We're still walking in the buildings they built today. That's absurd. People were still driving on the roads the Romans built. But once the Romans fell, the Dark Ages came. And this is just, it's weird for us to think about this. This empire fell and technology went backwards. We've never experienced technology going backwards. Everything really in that part of the world went backwards. Civilization itself fell and there was none left. And now you have the Dark Ages which come. And for a very long time, this is a very dumbed down, simplified version. It's a fascinating period of time. For a long time in Europe, what you had was tribes tribes warring with each other, tribes rising up, trying to become nations. Kings will rise, kings will fall. You just had that. We're trying to form a country here, really a feudal system here. We're trying to just establish a city here. But, oh, wait, we're now at war with them. And it is a nutso period of time. Very, very fascinating, horribly violent, and dark. The reason it's called the Dark Ages. It is. So, during this period of time, the Vikings start showing up. We're talking, I don't necessarily even want to put a time on it. Think about the year 5-600, right? So that's about that time. But that's really, really broad. The Vikings start rolling in. Who are the Vikings? We all know what Vikings are from the movies and comic books, but they were farmers, you know, they were ranchers, really. They just had an expeditionary unit, if you will, of warriors. They came from the cold, they came from a hard place to live, and they had developed a warrior class. Now, the warrior class of Vikings started launching these raids into various places. Monasteries were big, but just really any town along the coast. And think of it in this way as far as the Vikings go. They were capable. The people they were fighting were often not capable, at least at first. The defenses got a lot better. But the Vikings themselves, for them, it was like, I'll put it to you this way. What if instead of getting a daily or a weekly paycheck or a biweekly paycheck, what if instead of that, once a year, you had to do something. You had to get in your car, and you had to drive two states over. And two states over, you will find this massive, guarded, but massive warehouse. And in that warehouse is a box. If you can get your hands on that box, you will have your entire year's wages. If you're lucky, maybe this year and next year's wages. And if you and your friends are organized enough and smart enough, a new car. You can drop off your old car, you go get your new car, you drive your new car, and your year's wages back to where you live. That's what raiding was for them. And I'm not trying to put a smiley face on what a raid is. You saw, look, remember October 7th when Hamas did the invasion? As I explained then, without the history or the terrorism or any of that stuff, that's what a raid looks like. It was a raid. Raiding. You always hear about raiding. There were Celtic raiders and Viking raiders and a bunch of different Indian tribes or raiders. Raiders have been the African tribes. Raiders have been part of everything. Well, that's what a raid looks like. The women get raped. The people get murdered. Slaves get taken. That's what a raid looks like. It's a raid. So I'm not going to put a smiley face on raiding, but they started all this raiding. And they were very good at it. And to deal with the Vikings, they tried so many different things. And different areas tried different things. Hey, let's arm it up. Let's train a militia. Let's get better with this. Let's get better with that. It's really fascinating. They started to build fortifications along the rivers in mainland Europe because the Vikings would take their longboats right up the river and raid a city on the river. It's really cool. Raid a city on the river and then take off. So they started putting these fortifications where you had to lower the chains or the gates and they're doing all these things. But part of what else they did was they started making deals with the Vikings. And it's easy as a dude to look back on the kings who were making these deals with the Vikings and call them soft and call them cowardly. I try not to do that if I'm not living through what these kings are going through. So let's say you're a king of Paris, if you will, because that actually applies to this story. Paris was not this huge metropolis like it is now. They're trying to get themselves going. It's a town right along the river. They're trying to get going, become a bustling place. You're growing. And the freaking Vikings just keep coming for you. They keep coming for you and they keep coming for you. And eventually the Vikings start asking for ransoms. Essentially, pay me to stop hitting you. And sometimes, oftentimes, the kings would. How much do you need? Okay, but a ton of silver? Hey, here's a ton of silver. And that's exactly right, Chris. Chris said protection money. Oftentimes, with the payment, it not only came with the, hey, pay me, I'll stop hitting you. if you pay me, I'm a Viking. I'll stop these other Vikings. Do you want me to stop the other Vikings? I'm clearly the one who's strong enough. You pay me enough silver, I'll stop these other Vikings. And it went beyond silver, you see. It eventually turned into land as well. Hey, here's a ton of silver. Please stop attacking us. And you see this wonderful land? This Normandy land up here? Beautiful, very fertile. Why don't you guys settle there? You know what? We want you to. Have some land. Build yourselves up. The Vikings start to settle. Now, this is approaching the year 1000, roughly. This is very rough on the dates. The Vikings start to settle, but they start to assimilate. Europe doesn't become Viking. The Vikings slowly start converting to Christianity and start becoming Europe. Now, there is some Viking that bleeds over, some military tactics. Obviously, there's always going to be a mixture of cultures, but for the most part, the Vikings stopped, at least in this area, stopped their raiding lifestyle and started to just become citizens, normal citizens. Now, that eventually turned into William the Conqueror. And there's a bunch of history behind this. I could go into that, but I'm not going to right now. He decides he's going to go take a conquering army, and he's going to go over to England. He's going to cross the channel because of some personal slights and things like that, and he's going to take that place over. And he does. And after he conquers it, William the Conqueror, kind of gave that away, after he conquers it, he really established the system that in a lot of ways you still see today over there in the UK. Now, it's really changed with kings and feudal systems, so I don't want to say it's the same system, but what the UK became, William the Conqueror, he laid the foundations for it. Whether that's the number one thing in history, probably push back on that, but it certainly was a big event. There's no question about it. Let's do some Christy Gnome confirmation hearing talk before we get back to more of this stuff. Before we do that, speaking of history, let me ask you, do you have any VHS tapes, home videos of yourself and your family? Camcorder tapes? Do you have any books, baby books, boxes of pictures, hard copy pictures? The stuff we used to have to go get developed, or you'd have a Polaroid, which was really cool, by the way. But do you have any of that? You know you need to get all that digitized. And you know Legacy Box can do that for you. You don't have to just try to do it yourself. I took it down to the scanner. Legacy Box has helped over 1 million families save these memories. The kids, the wedding day, the vacation, the relative who passed away. Get this done now. They mail you the box. You throw the stuff in the box, mail it to them, boom, digitized. And then they mail you your stuff back. They spoon feed it to you. LegacyBox.com/Jesse saves you 50%. And by the way, you buy it today, you send it whenever you're ready. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And before I get to the Christy Gnome stuff, a little bit of it from today, I will say Jewish producer Chris just asked me if I'd ever fallen asleep at the wheel. I have not, but I came very, very, very close one time. I was in the Marines and my folks were living in Arizona. They'd moved to Arizona. And I decided I was going to do something nice for my mom and my dad, too. But, you know, it's moms who really love this stuff. I thought I was not going to have time off for Christmas. They ended up giving us an extra day. So we had like 3 or 4 days off. But they had worked us like dogs. We had not had a chance to sleep. And in order to make Arizona on Christmas Eve, I had to take off from 29 Palms and drive down to Tucson, Arizona. And I forget, I don't want to tell you how long that was because I don't remember. I could look it up now. I'm just live on the air. I would guess it's 7-8 hours, I would guess. And I had already been up for like 24 hours by the time I took off on it. And it was the middle of the night, so it was dark. I had 3 bottles of Mountain Dew on the way down there. And I was It was so unsafe. Don't ever do this. I should note, kids, legitimately, I should never have done this. It was really, really dumb. It's how you get people killed, yourself killed. I had 3 bottles of Mountain Dew on the way, and I swear I barely made it. Oh, Chris, big ones, big ones. I would stop every 2 or 3 hours to get in a gas station, and it was cold out, so it was Christmas time. It was cold out, and I would walk around my car at night trying to get myself woken up and the blood flowing. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, so I never have, but I've come close to doing it, I tell you that. Kristi Noem did pretty well today for herself.
Yes, Senator, the president and I have talked extensively about this and will 100% partner with him to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy and make sure that it's in place. Yes, Senator, if confirmed, and I have the opportunity to be secretary on day one, CBP one will be shut down. There's data and information in there that we will preserve so that we can ensure we know who's coming into this country and who's already here that we need to.
Just a heads up before she keeps going. CBP one, that is the app you paid for, designed and paid for by us, that allows illegals to simply bypass our immigration system. The Biden administration came up with an app on their phone to violate the sovereignty of this country. Freaking treasonous.
To go find, but also we make sure that there's another program, CHNV, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, where our federal government actually paid to fly people into this country directly from other countries without any vetting or knowing who they are. So there's several of these programs that need to be eliminated, and we need to ensure that we're following legal immigration law. Yes, we will go back to case-by-case evaluation of these parole cases.
Yeah. Pretty good. This is going to lead me to an Ask Dr. Jesse question in a minute, but I'm going to play a couple other things she said. This I really love to hear. I love that we're not letting this go. I know we've all moved on from the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, but that was a very suspicious event. I remain very suspicious. The Secret Service allowing an assassin to take a rooftop overlooking the subject they're supposed to be protecting 148 yards away with the weapon, optic, the works. I mean, remember, that was a successful assassination attempt. Donald Trump turned his head. Luck is what it is, or God looking out for you, whatever way you want to put it. That assassin, he did everything right. He reconned it, planned it, brought whatever he needed, and when the time came to make the shot, he made the shot. Donald Trump turned his head. Donald Trump should be dead. And we have phones with overseas accounts. Anyway, I liked that I heard this today.
Will you pledge to us that you will open the books on all of the facts associated and around these assassination attempts?
Yeah, Senator, if I am the Secretary of Homeland Security, I will certainly work with you to build transparency and make sure the facts are shared with you and your committee. I know that you've been very frustrated by the lack of transparency from the department, and I want to thank those of you that have worked on that report that was put together on these assassination attempts. I know it was a bipartisan report and investigation that this committee conducted, and I appreciate you focusing on that, and I will work with you to get the information so that you have the truth of really what happened there and the failures so they can be fixed.
Okay. I like that she's going to look into it. I like that Josh Hawley is not letting it go. But we have to stay on that as well. You and I do. Remember, public pressure is real, especially now that social media is here. Public pressure is real. It's not that I expect you or me to call my congressman every day, but somebody tried to blow Donald Trump's head off right after the Supreme Court ruled that he was immune. So as soon as they found out that he was going to get immunity from a bunch of these felonies, these ridiculous felony charges, right after that, and right before he was the nominee, somebody tried to blow his head off. Remember, this took place during that little window after immunity, before he was the nominee. Donald Trump, if he got his brains blown out that day, Donald Trump was not the nominee yet. That only happens at the convention. J.D. Vance was not the VP nominee yet. Donald Trump gets his head blown off that day. I'm not even sure exactly how they would do it procedurally because it hasn't had to be done before. But we're looking at the GOP having to come up with some sort of an ad hoc, brand new primary system that gets handed to somebody who would not be Donald Trump because Donald Trump would be dead. I want some answers. I want some answers. I want some answers on why the guy who tried to blow Donald Trump's head off, I want to know why he had overseas accounts. I want to know why he was in a BlackRock commercial when he was younger. I want to know things. I want to know why the Secret Service failed. I have questions, and we need answers. Are people inside the government willing and able to assassinate the President of the United States of America? That's a question I want answers to. Now, let's talk about the ratchet and illegal immigration. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.